Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Peter King joins us at the bottom of the hour. I was going to kind of mention a little football here as we kick things off, and we'll get back to the calls in a moment here as well. I was a little bit surprised, tiny bit surprised, that the Patriots open up as a favorite in Jacksonville this weekend. Now, it's small. It's 1.5.
Yeah.
But what that means is that if they were playing here, the Patriots would be a 4.5-point favorite, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess so. I guess maybe they're down on Blake Bortles, perhaps? Because the Patriots were good, but didn't we talked about this a lot on Monday. The Texans and Deshaun Watson looked rusty, didn't look right, and yet it was still a 7-point game. And I know there was a fumbled punt and that kind of sways things, but those things happen. And so even though it felt like the Patriots had full control of the game, the Texans had the ball down 7 to end the game. So I think it was a lot closer than it would have been. But I guess, you know, Vegas not buying in yet on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a great defense, but, you know, their best offensive player is probably not going to play in this game. You know, and Leonard Fournette, Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles. You know, Marquise Lee went down in the preseason, so the Jaguars' offense is pretty poor.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind here is I would say Leonard Fournette is a real question mark.
Right.
Didn't practice yesterday, not practicing today. He's got a hamstring injury. They're going to test the hamstring tomorrow and see where he's at. That doesn't sound good for Sunday, and he's a huge part of their offense. So if the Vegas odds makers are not necessarily buying into the Jacksonville Jaguars yet, there's somebody a little closer to home who's also not buying into the Jacksonville Jaguars yet, and that would be Teddy Bruschi.
All right, what's your take on this game?
That's all right, Bo. Yeah, I told you I was coming to help you out, man. I'll be here. Don't worry. The best Blake Bortles I've seen are in games where he drops back to pass, he looks at his first read, and then he takes off. And I think that's what Bill was referencing earlier in this week where, you know, it is sort of Deshaun Watson-like, Cam Newton-like, well, maybe more, I mean, those type of big scrambling quarterbacks. But when he knows he's in a game, I've seen him to where that's not there, and I'm just going to run because I'm big and I'm fast. And really, sometimes he's a better runner than he is a thrower, in my opinion. So to move the chains that way to get 10, 11 yards, I think if they prevent that, they're going to be fine because if Fournette has that hamstring injury and he's not there, their play-action game isn't effective. Fournette isn't, you know, if he even plays. Because week two, you got almost like the Aaron Rodgers injury and now the Leonard Fournette, the twinge of the hamstring. I mean, one little burst, you know, one quick little burst, and you get that thing one more time, and now it's like, okay, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And you really don't want that to happen. You know, so Jacksonville, I mean, they did well last week, so I don't know what their thinking would be, but as long as the Patriots, I know the Gronkowski thing's huge offensively, but, I mean, I just still think, like you said, Glenn, they put those corners on those wide receivers outside, and then they put everybody else on Gronkowski, and then Brady's gonna hit those backs, like you said. So the Jacksonville Jaguars have a solid team, don't get me wrong, but I think the Patriots are going to have their way with them.
Way with him.
Jeez. I don't know. I mean, he's right about Bortles. Bortles sucks. Like, he didn't say straight up that he sucks. But anytime you say a quarterback, oh, he's a better runner than he is a passer.
That's like, not a good thing.
That's not a great thing, especially when he's not a Michael Vick runner.
Yeah, Michael
Vick. It's one thing
Michael Vick was a much better runner than he was passer.
But he was such an elite runner that it made him such a dynamic player, at least for a handful of seasons. Whereas Bortles, so Jacksonville beat the Giants last Sunday 20-15. Bortles finished the game. He had 4 carries, I guess if you want to call it that, for 42 yards, but he had 41 of them on one play. So he had one huge run in the game. Everything else, that was about it. Then kind of a dink and dunk attack. They also, sort of to defend Bortles, they don't have great receivers. You know, Keelan Cole had the most yards. Dede Westbrook had the most catches. Like, it's not a great group of skill guys, especially if you take Fournette out, because TJ Yeldon I don't think is very good. But isn't Jacksonville's defense even better than Houston's defense?
Their defense is good. It's not elite.
Oh, I disagree. I think it is elite.
And I've read other things about this week.
Okay.
About people saying, look, they're good. They're good defense.
Wow.
Now, their linebackers are really good.
Their linebackers are really good. Their secondary is really good. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is awesome. And A.J. Bouye.
Doesn't sound like Teddy's too worried about Jalen Ramsey either, by the way.
I guess not. I mean, I think he's great. I think he is a guy who backs up what he says. I think he's that good. And, yeah, it might be the best linebacker group. They got guys like Calais Campbell can get after the quarterback. I think, especially for 2018, where it's all about scoring points and all the rules are in place for the offense, I think this is as elite of a defense as you're going to find. I think this is the best. I think Houston has a good defense, especially their front. But I think this is going to be the best defense the Patriots face all season long.
The Patriots do have an issue, and we didn't know about this until yesterday when the first injury report came out. Rex Burkhead has a concussion.
Yikes.
All of a sudden you think Kenyon Barner probably going to play this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, so you lose Jeremy Hill.
I think it was going to be a punt returner punter, anyway.
Yeah, he's more than that. Yeah. I mean, because Sony Michel, who knows if he's going to be ready to go, and Burkhead misses practice on Wednesday with a concussion, so who knows? Like, that is, you have no idea what's going to happen. We'll get the injury report again later today, but I can't imagine they're going to, you know, rush a guy back from this. They can't. So you have James White, but how many carries can you even give James White? So, yeah, I mean, Kenyon Barner, your fingers crossed in Sony Michel, but the depth chart there at running back is very thin. At the beginning of the season, you thought, oh, they had to get rid of Gillislee, even though he was not very good. They got picked up by the – you see him fumble, too?
Yeah, yes, I did.
But they had too many guys. They had to get rid of one of them, and now you're kind of grasping at straws. They might even have to add another guy before the week is out, depending on how bad the Burkhead concussion is.
I have a feeling, and we won't pick the games till tomorrow. Before the season started, I said there was actually the possibility the Patriots could start 0-2. Then they went out and had their way, to use Teddy's phrase, had their way with the Houston Texans. Teddy thinks they could have their way with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and all of a sudden you're going, if they run through those two, they're 2-0.
Yeah, they're probably the two best teams. Well, Kansas City looks pretty good, and Mahomes could be a difference maker, and I don't know, the Steelers, I guess, are kind of a wild card still at this point, even though they tied the Browns. But you can make a case that Houston and Jacksonville are two of the best teams in the AFC outside of the Patriots. Now, Houston is going to be a lot better. You know, Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, I think, are going to get healthier, and they're going to look more like they normally do. So week one maybe was the best time to catch them. But Jacksonville, let's not forget how close the AFC Championship game was last year. Like a play or two here or there, and it's Blake freaking Bortles and the Jaguars going to the Super Bowl. So they're a good team.
I think the loss of Fournette, if that's what happens, yeah, is huge for Jacksonville.
Well, I just think Jacksonville's one of those teams that is probably a contender, but they have the worst quarterback. For all the teams that might be able to win it, he's just terrible. And then they gave him more money and more years. Like, I don't get it. Like, I know you invested.
You're tied to him forever now. He better find a way to become better.
I don't know if
he
will.
Doomed if he doesn't.
Don't you think that's kind of the way it's going to go? I mean, nothing.
Yes, I do.
Nothing beats 2 years ago when we had Trent Dilfer on. And he said he's the worst quarterback in the league. Now, that might be overstating it. Nathan Peterman is still in the league. But this is year five for Blake Bortles. I don't think you just get it at year five. Or maybe he needs to go to a team with a better coordinator, or maybe a coordinator goes to Jacksonville that can help him out. But I think this is what he is. This is what we've seen from Blake Bortles. His best quarterback rating year ever was 88.2. And again, in today's NFL, that stinks. And, you know, he opened up the season just sort of managing it. And Doug Marrone was saying the same thing. He was like, yeah, I just ask him to win games. I don't ask him to do anything else but win. You're like, all right, that's when you know your quarterback sucks.
Do you believe that Doug Marrone doesn't watch the Super Bowl?
But he'd be the only person.
That right? was the big thing yesterday. He doesn't watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, because it hurts so much. Oh, I can't stand it.
Didn't watch a minute of it last year.
Like, all right, Doug.
And somebody, you know.
You didn't watch the Super Bowl, Doug?
And one of the media guys said, well, you know, the way the Eagles went after the Patriots in the Super Bowl, wouldn't you want to watch that film and, and, you know, get some ideas? He said, the coordinators will watch it.
I mean, give me a break.
He's not going to watch the tape
right.
of the Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl.
He sounds like an absolute
like
loser.
Like a moron.
Such a loser. Hey, you're not going to watch the Super Bowl. It hurts too much. That's where my team should be. Like, yeah, I guess. You got to get over it. You got to watch the game.
Yeah, maybe it would help you. Now it's for a Sunday's game. You know, just the thought, Doug.
It's one thing if you were the Patriots, let's say, and you don't want to go back and rewatch Pat's Eagles. I think the coaches probably do. They have to for tape, but you don't really want to. But a game that you weren't even involved in, you got to get over it, especially if you can help your team out.
Especially if you can pick up something, found a way to beat that team and you didn't.
Watch, they're going to throw past the Blake Bortles. They're going to run the Jacksonville special. We're like, oh, you didn't watch the game? Yeah, you just came up with that on your own, Doug? Yeah, he seems like a clown. I still couldn't. The whole Doug Marrone thing where Buffalo grabs him from Syracuse, that football factory Syracuse. Yeah. They're like, hey, you're with us now. And then after 2 years, he's like, I'm leaving here because he had like an opt out. And they're like, you're a head coach in the NFL. He left to be the O-line coach in Jacksonville. And yet I guess he got the last laugh because now he's their head coach.
Bill Belichick speaks glowingly about Miles Jack.
He's awesome.
And he's really good.
He's awesome.
One of the best linebackers. But can I just say, maybe Miles, you need a little perspective.
What's wrong with
he
Miles?
Miles says this is the biggest game of his life. In fact, he'd go so far as to say this is the biggest week of his life.
Well, I like living in the now, and that's what Miles Jack is doing. He's not going to look back at years ago. This is the biggest opportunity for him. This is it. This is it. Playing the Patriots. I think a lot of guys feel this way. I love Miles. Actually, you know what? Miles Jack.
Miles, maybe you should have thought that way last year.
He's probably the best running back.
AFC championship thing?
Well, that was, but that's in the past.
It's
so
in
now
the past.
This is it. I bet Miles Jack is the best running back on the Jaguars. Remember him at UCLA when they'd give him the ball? He was incredible. He's definitely better than T.J. Yeldon. And with Fournette's hurt, they should probably have him play both ways. A little Iron Man football.
That'd be good.
Patrick Peterson tried for a little bit.
Patrick Peterson, yeah, he could do it a little bit. Charles Woodson.
And Miles Jack was the one who stripped the ball out in the AFC Championship
game. He
just jet right down the sideline.
Yes, he was. He might be the most athletic guy on the field on Sunday. Don't tell Jalen Ramsey. It might be Miles Jack.
So why does Vegas think the Patriots are road favorites?
Bortles? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, right?
That'd be a good reason.
Well, Bortles and Fournette.
And Marrone.
Marrone?
Well, let's match up the coaches here. Let's see.
I mean, it's probably a combination of Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette. Like, they probably think Leonard Fournette's not going to play. So who's the best offensive player on the Jaguars? Like, that alone, like, that might be your answer right there. The best offensive guy on the Jaguars is playing defense. So they don't have anybody that you're terrified of. Keelan Cole. I am curious, though, on the flip side, what do you think they do with Gronk? Do you think we get some Jalen Ramsey on Gronk? I hope so.
I think Gronk hopes so.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to goad Gronk into talking about it yesterday. He had one of those podium sessions yesterday. And I don't know who it was. I couldn't tell who was asking the question, but asked Gronk about Jalen Ramsey and the stuff that he said.
Just preparing like I always prepare. I got to just do my job out on the field and just worry about that.
Is that motivating you, Gronk?
I mean, for sure. I mean, there's always motivation you're looking for. I mean, it does and it doesn't.
You think it's like...
So that's tricky right there. It doesn't give you the answer you're looking for. That was a trick question. You're trying to get me to say something, right? All right. But it does and it doesn't. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it motivates you. You're hearing that, you know. Obviously, there's something out there that he saw on film and stuff that I could probably get better at football in some certain categories. I mean, you don't always feel the best every single day when you're out on the field. So that's how he feels. That's how he feels.
That's amazing.
Please, God, put Jalen Ramsey on Gronk.
There is so much good stuff in that. First of all, I think he short-circuited because that question put him in the box. He didn't know what to do with it. He's like, what's the Patriots answer? What's the Patriots answer? What's the Patriots answer?
And then he figured it out.
Does this motivate you? He said yes and no. It can't be both. It can't be both. It motivates you. It's fine to say that it motivates you, but he's like, but I don't want to give them credit for even me knowing about it or me thinking about it, but I obviously heard about it, and I'm obviously pissed about it. And if he makes a play over Jalen Ramsey, do you think he's going to tell Ramsey about it?
Oh,
do you think
God.
If he scores a touchdown on him, it's going to be a little extra on the spike? He knows all about it, and it does motivate him, but his mind, like, fried. And he's like, wait a minute. Yes. No. he goes, you know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he does. And then at the end, I love the line where he's like, obviously, you know, Ramsey saw something where, you know, he thinks I could be better at football. I love that. Like, first of all, I don't think you could. I don't think Gronk could be a lot better at football. Like,
he's about
healthy.
As good as anybody who's ever played that position.
Right. When he's healthy, which has nothing to do with really just being good at football. I mean, I guess it's important, but like it's kind of a little bit out of his control. He's as good as it gets.
Yeah,
but I hope they are matched up, and I think it would be that's probably the best way for Jacksonville to slow him down.
Well, then the question would become, you know, would Gronk like get a penalty or something?
Definitely during the game on the field. I mean, there can always be talking going back and forth. Temper's getting heated up and everything. You just got to keep your cool. And, I mean, I don't see any benefit to get a 15-yard penalty out on the field because you lose your cool. And so you just got to keep your cool and keep your head on straight.
Keep your cool. That's sort of the slogan for this week, I think. Keep your cool.
Well, especially against that guy anyway.
Oh, yeah. But that's Jacksonville's only chance because I don't think Bortles is going to light up the Patriots' defense. They're not going to score a lot of points.
Especially if Fournette's not playing.
Although it may be somewhat similar. Now, they don't have a DeAndre Hopkins, obviously. But an injured or not quite ready to play Deshaun Watson probably looks like Blake Bortles will this Sunday. Right? Like, because Watson just was throwing bad passes. He was kind of slow.
Yeah.
He was like, he didn't look all that sharp. So you're probably going to get a similar quarterback performance. But then there's not DeAndre Hopkins on the other side. And if Fournette can't go, there may not even be a Lamar Miller on the other side. So I look at it, if you're comparing it to last week's game, Jacksonville has the better defense, but they probably have a slightly worse offense. And so if you put all that together, that's probably why the Patriots are still the favorite, even though the game's in Jacksonville.
I have a feeling most of that Patriots road favorite thing is all Fournette.
Could be.
I think it's, you know, if Leonard Fournette is there, maybe Jacksonville's a point and a half favorite.
Yeah, I think it would be close. I mean, it's probably – I thought it was going to be a pick 'em anyway. So, like, this is pretty close. Plus, you know, the Patriots, they're probably – we've done this before. They're favorites in almost every single game.
Almost always.
They almost always are. Because anytime they're an underdog, you know that everybody's going to be betting on the Patriots because they win 12, 13 games every year. So you might as well just pick them nonstop, especially if the line is very close. But, no, I'm intrigued. And there's a lot of things to look at in the game, whether it's – the Patriots running backs, who's even healthy? Because Burkhead had 18 carries last week.
And receptions.
Oh, he was all over the place. If you take him out of the game.
Like, was Burkhead the guy that the Houston player hit when the Houston player got the concussion as well?
Oh,
was he?
When Kevin Johnson was flying in?
That's a good question. Was it
Burkhead?
Because I wonder if both guys ended up getting a concussion on that play.
Wait, Johnson was the one that looked like he got KO punched. But,
and they're talking about like 4 to 6 weeks for him.
Well, that didn't look right. He was like knocked out cold.
He also had a concussion earlier in the week heading into the last
Kevin Johnson.
Johnson
did?
Yeah.
He kind of played like he did.
Is there any way we can find out if it was Burkhead that he hit? Because it was a helmet to helmet thing.
Oh, I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere. We can track this down.
It was on the Patriots sideline, if I remember right. And I'm wondering if, you know, when we look back to Burkhead, if that was. What did it in for him,
too? No, it was Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, was it?
It was Cordarrelle Patterson he hit. Oh, yeah, watching it again. Oh, he's out. Oh, he's out. So, yeah, but, I mean, that's a thin spot. And we're wondering, you know, who could get the most carries on the team? And, like, would they want to try to run against this team? They may not want to run against the Jaguars anyway. You know, it might be a lot of James White catching it out of the backfield regardless, you know, even if Burkhead was healthy, although that is another guy for them to throw to. So they're going to have to make some tweaks if he can't go because he was such a big part after missing really all of preseason. Then he comes in there week one and they used him a ton.
We have seen Tom Brady go at people who talk. We've seen him. We've seen him do it before.
I would not go after Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, I would to Gronk. If Jalen Ramsey is one-on-one against Gronk, I promise you Brady's looking at him.
Well, he's looking at Gronk no matter what.
No,
all
but I'm
the time
just saying,
anyway.
That matchup, he's going to say, all right, I kind of like the guy who's 6'7".
Yeah, I don't know. Ramsey's awesome. I would not go after Ramsey because that means somebody is going to be open or somebody's going to have a better matchup. Because
I have a feeling you're not going to see a lot of Ramsey on Gronk.
Probably not. I guess it depends on where Gronk lines up. But so if Ramsey guards the number one receiver, and I guess last week we were talking about Tommy Curran yesterday, you know, against the Giants. He was lined up on the same side of the field as Odell Beckham last week, but they also ran a lot of zone, and so it wasn't all on Ramsey when Beckham had a pretty good afternoon. But let's just say he is guarding the number one receiver. Who the hell is that for the Patriots?
Like Hogan?
That seems like a waste for Ramsey.
I'm just saying.
It? No, you might, probably is. Yeah, it might be. But I think if you're Jacksonville, you say, all right, Ramsey, you take out Hogan. It's like, well, Hogan took himself out last week, and they still won. They had no problem, right? Like, you're not relying. Like, if Hogan has one catch or five catches or eight catches, what's the difference? Like, the offense, I think, is still going to be able to score a lot of points. It's not really reliant on Hogan. Maybe you put him on Dorsett. Dorsett was more of part of the offense last week. But I think even if Gronk lines up as a tight end, like where, or, you know, where tight ends normally line up, I would try, if I'm Jacksonville, to put Ramsey on him until that fails, and then say, all right, Miles Jack,
my bad,
safeties, let's get somebody else involved there. But because he is as
big, I think Miles Jack is a better,
yeah, I mean, he can run
with
them.
Better option, yeah, for Jacksonville. I mean, one-on-one is not a good option anyway
for anybody. Yeah,
but I just think that if I'm Jacksonville and I'm looking at, okay, what do I do with Gronk, I feel much better about Miles Jack on him than I do with Jalen Ramsey on him, just from a size perspective.
I would say even those two guys right there, you at least have a conversation. Most teams can't even present anybody that makes sense. Like Gronk versus who? You're like, you'll take Gronk every time, and that's why teams should do two players minimum on Gronk. Because think about some of the big catches that he had last week that, you know, they go to him, not just the touchdown, but so many just drive-setting plays or third-down plays. If you're able to limit him, then I don't know if the offense isn't going to look nearly as good.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Peter King coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls as well. Noon 30, about 65 minutes from now.
Oh, we're sneaking up on
noon
30.
30.
That's right.
All of that still to come. Peter King coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI. It is time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King. Football morning in America, if you want to get official about the whole thing. It'll take me a little while to not say the other four letters that I always said after Peter. Peter joins us right now. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. It looks as though the only NFL city that might have any weather issues this weekend would be Atlanta. Carolina is at Atlanta. I think they probably feel at this point that the remnants of the hurricane will be gone by then, don't they?
That anybody in the NFL is too worried about it. I mean, it's that this thing is just going to demolish parts of the southeast coast, apparently. And I mean, I've been reading the last day or two what college football games are going to be played and will the NFL be affected. It's kind of weird, but that is our world. And it sounds like everything in the NFL is going to go off as scheduled.
Peter, it was a brutal start for Matt Patricia and the Lions on the field, but it also sounds like off the field, he has all kinds of issues with that team right now as well.
It's a funny thing. It reminds me just a little bit of what happened early on to Josh McDaniels in Denver, that even though they got off to a good start in his first year, there was this undercurrent of there were some people on the team who were unhappy with him. Not hugely unhappy, and obviously he had his Brandon Marshall headache early and all that. But I think the thing I'll never forget this.
Sorry, Peter, we lost you there for a second.
Sorry, when Bill Parcells had his trouble very early on with the New York Giants. The one thing I remember, it was like the first year I was there, he was telling me a story about what winning a Super Bowl actually did for him. And the one thing he said was, when you have pelts on the wall, they got to listen to you. And so I think that it's the case with Josh McDaniels in Denver and probably was the case with every Bill Belichick assistant, including Matt Patricia now, that you just can't come in and unilaterally say, this is the way we're going to do things. You've got to.
All right, we might need to figure this out. Just pop him on hold and just see what's going on here, because we're getting like every 30 seconds, we're dropping him there. But so we'll try to figure that out. But I think that, because we were talking about the coaching tree yesterday, Dale, and that might be where you start, is Belichick can do things a certain way because he's Bill Belichick, because he has all these rings. These other guys go in there and they're like, yeah, I was on the staff, but what, you know, they're like, you didn't do it. You were a coordinator or you were an assistant coach. So it's a whole lot different if Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia go in there and start trying to throw their weight around.
Well, we've always said this in the past that, you know, Matt Patricia may be the defensive coordinator, but it's Bill Belichick's defense.
Right. guys get the credit.
Josh McDaniels.
He gets the credit, I mean.
Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator, but it's Bill Belichick's offense.
And Tom Brady. And in his case.
And, oh, by the way, that guy, too.
And it's Tom Brady. So it's been tough for any of those guys to go out on their own, but it seems like it's everything for Patricia. You know,
all right, let's see if we can reconnect here. Hey, Peter, sorry. We were just having issues with your phone dropping out.
Yeah, my apologies. The one thing I was saying is that, look, when you come in as a coach from a great coach's staff, you know, it's great. People say, hey, that's really cool. We got this guy who's been around Belichick. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. It matters. But is it that big a deal? No. What's a big deal is establishing your own way, and which I'm sure Matt Patricia is doing right now. And it's probably a tougher way than the Lions were used to under Jim Caldwell. I remember the day I was in their training camp, guys, the Lions had two team periods where, you know, offense goes against defense. And if you know, I'm doing this from memory, so I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like the first five snaps of the first one were all running plays, three of them by LeGarrette Blount. And then the next one was a running-dominated period. And it's like Matt Patricia is saying to this team, I don't care what you think we do best. And obviously our passing game is our strong point. We will run the ball. We will have a dominant personality on offense. And it was an absolute debacle in that first game. You know, again, historically, they can't run, and they didn't run again. And so I would expect that Matt had to spend a good deal of this week kind of cleaning that up with some of the little internal quarrels that they seem to be having.
You've got two players who will not practice today who are really crucial to their team's success. One is Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers. One is Leonard Fournette for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In Fournette's case, they're going to test the hamstring tomorrow. In Rodgers' case, he's playing with, or he's got a knee that he says is really sore. It's hard for me to picture either guy playing this weekend, isn't it?
I mean, look, if they play, I think, particularly in the case of Fournette, I think if Fournette plays, he's not going to be a big factor at all. Because I think that what you saw last weekend is that T.J. Yeldon, you know, is an adequate to good backup back, and he would probably get the majority of the carries this weekend. As far as Rodgers goes, look, I mean, that was his adrenaline talking when he went to Michelle Tafoya after the game and said, oh, I'm playing next week. But I think anybody who has watched the Packers in recent years would say, especially with the Vikings coming to town, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this weekend, I don't see any way. I almost think it's more possible for Cleveland to go to New Orleans and win that game this weekend than it is for Green Bay to beat Minnesota with DeShone Kizer playing quarterback. So, again, if the doctor tells Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy has a great relationship with the orthopedist there, Pat McKenzie, and if the orthopedist says, look, we think he can protect himself, we'll brace him up and all that, I would not be surprised if the Packers play Aaron Rodgers and everything is just out quick. And, you don't see 15 balls thrown to Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis and the tight end group, because I just don't see any way they compete well in that game with DeShone Kizer.
Patriots are in Jacksonville on Sunday. Do you think this Jaguars defense is the best that the Pats will face all season?
That's a great question. I think it probably is, especially now because the Jaguars defense is so healthy. And with the exception of the play where he got faked out of his shoes by Saquon Barkley, which I have a feeling that's not the last time that's going to happen with Barkley, Miles Jack is really coming into his own as a middle of the defense quarterback playmaker, on that team. And I also think that it's going to be a better cornerback group
for Tom Brady to face this week, obviously with Bouye and Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really big challenge for New England. But I'll tell you this. When I was watching that game last weekend, I kept thinking to myself, you know, Josh McDaniels is so good at figuring out how to avoid the great players on another team's defense. Look what he did with J.J. Watt, who, you know, the box score is going to show three tackles, no sacks, and say, wow, J.J. Watt is not all the way back. J.J. Watt looked really good to me, but he never had a chance to make a play because Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady didn't give him that chance. Quick outs with the ball and also throwing away from his side most of the time.
Jalen Ramsey talks a good game, but he also plays a good game. I wonder how much, though, the Jacksonville coaching staff will want to have Jalen Ramsey one-on-one against Rob Gronkowski based on the things that he said.
Fantastic question. That is, if I were the Jaguars this weekend, that's what I would do. That is exactly what I would do, Dale. I would just say, okay, look, he might catch a couple of balls high, and he might catch a couple of balls downfield in a physical rematch with me, but I'm gonna bat away three or four balls if I play Gronk. If I were them, that's exactly what I would do. Now, you know, the one weird thing about that is when you really change what a guy does and how he plays and maybe have him banging around in the middle of the field, which obviously if you play over the tight end, it's going to be different than playing wide outside and just running with a guy. Here you're going to have to be concerned with being a physical player in the middle of the field and getting bounced around a lot, a little bit. But still, that's exactly what I would do if I were Jacksonville.
Peter, do you have any idea where Dez Bryant will end up and when he will go to that team? I know he's openly pitched to go to the Patriots, but there seems to be nothing on that end.
I mean, when you pick Corey Coleman over Dez Bryant and, you know, you pick Benny Fowler over Dez Bryant, although I'll tell you this, I think Benny Fowler could be a really interesting addition for a guy who comes off the street in week two. I remember Peyton Manning loved Benny Fowler. Smart guy, has the ability to get open. So we'll see. Again, I don't know. He's on the street for a reason. But I thought that because I'm sure Bill Belichick is not concerned at all about Dez Bryant, the personality, because he's handled everything in his career where he's coached. I think the more apt thing when you look at Dez Bryant right now, I mean, if you look at his last couple of years and how he played and his numbers, I mean, you know, last year he was okay, but he was like a 12-yard a reception guy. He's turned into more of a possession receiver later in his career. He's not as explosive as he used to be. And so, I don't know. To me, I think Dez Bryant is a lot of sound and fury. And the fact that nobody has picked him up, I think, says something, obviously.
All right, who do you like? Patriots at Jacksonville, Sunday at 4:25.
I'm going to pick Jacksonville. I think it's a game that they've been angling for a long time, and I'm sure that the play calling late in this game will always haunt Doug Marrone, because clearly I'm sure there's about five calls late in the game he'd like to have back. But after watching that game the other day, nothing will surprise me in this game. It won't surprise me if the Patriots win by two touchdowns. I just think right now the Jacksonville defense presents an awful lot of problems for New England.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Peter. Peter King, Football Morning in America. That's where the old MMQB column is right now, because MMQB is now Albert Breer, apparently. He's the big star there now.
How about that? Passing the torch,
so to speak.
Yes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. All right, who do you like? Patriots at Jacksonville, Sunday at 4:25.
I'm going to pick Jacksonville. I think it's a game that they've been angling for a long time, and I'm sure that the play calling late in this game will always haunt Doug Marrone, because clearly I'm sure there's about five calls late in the game he'd like to have back. But I just think right now the Jacksonville defense presents an awful lot of problems for New England.
Peter King picks Jacksonville in Sunday's game in Jacksonville between the Patriots and the Jaguars. It would be hard for me to pick Jacksonville, and their defense is really good. They're good.
It's great. I know you're not saying it's
elite. I'm not going to say it's great.
It's great. It's a great defense. Is there a great defense?
Yeah, the Vikings, I think, is a great
defense. Ooh, the Zim Reapers, who they also face this year.
But it's hard for me to get over the double dip that the Jaguars offer of Doug Marrone and Blake Bortles.
You don't like that combo?
Not so
that head coach quarterback combo?
You know, if you always think that that's an important part of any football team, so, you know, the head coach and the quarterback.
I think it is. I think it's quite important. I think the Patriots have had that advantage, and this is as big of an advantage as you can have. But it was the same advantage they had last year in the AFC Championship game, and that was an extremely close game and easily could have gone the other way. But going back to Doug Marrone not watching the Super Bowl, did you see the other line in there?
He's like, by the way, I don't believe him.
He's like, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe
so
I watched it.
So when he was at Syracuse, he didn't watch either, right?
That's what he's saying. No, he said the last time he watched it was...
He was like 12
He was
or
like
something.
12 when he was betting on the game. That's I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said. He's like, oh, I had a little money invested in the game like when I was 12.
So when
I'm
he
like,
was at Syracuse...
How'd you have any money
when
you were 12?
He didn't watch because he wasn't coaching in it? Syracuse doesn't get to play in the Super Bowl,
but we
Doug.
Should be there. We should be there. Instead, we just missed out on the Humanitarian Bowl, but we should have been in the Super Bowl. I can't watch it then. Yeah, I don't, he's a strange guy. He's a very odd character. But yeah, Blake Bortles. It's amazing that they would commit to him when wouldn't like a Alex Smith or a Case Keenum, who I don't think are great, but don't they give you a better shot? Like with that defense. Than keeping Blake Bortles? Like, I don't know what's the upside on Blake Bortles?
So you've got Doug Marrone over on this side, okay?
I see him.
Let's put Sean McVay over on that side for a moment.
You like Sean McVay, don't you?
Oh, I love Sean McVay. I mean, I think he is...
He's a stud. He's a coaching stud.
He might be the smartest young coach in the NFL.
He's the NFL's Brad Stevens.
Yeah, that is a great analogy. That's exactly what he is. So Bleacher Report went to do a little Q&A session with Sean McVay.
Yes.
And they decided they were going to put him to the test. I don't know who the guy asking the questions is. That's Chris Sims standing beside him, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know who is asking the questions either.
So
one of the many reporters for Bleacher Report.
So the premise here is they're going to find out about McVay supposedly has this encyclopedic memory.
Is it as good as LeBron, Dale? Dale, is it as good as LeBron who remembered something from 5 minutes earlier in the game that he played in?
It might be better.
Week 12. Saints at Rams, 4:29 in the second quarter, 2nd and 7 on the Saints 7. What happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown off schedule play versus a 3-man rush.
You're absolutely right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable. Like now we are going to go to, this is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, week 7, Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24, 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline, set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
He's good. He's real good. Check out the brain on Sean.
You're amazing.
I watched that video and I said, "Come on, this
did
almost
they feed him the answers."
I don't think they did.
No, I don't think they did either. Because like it's one of those things like when you're watching like magic on TV, you're like, "Well, is the other person in on it or not?" Like you don't really know. But I think because you can see it, they're standing on the field. Sean McVay is kind of looking down. The other guy's reading from a card.
He's got a card in front of him.
So I'm going to take it on the up and up, and I think it's one of the reasons why he is a guy who is able to make it work as a head coach. Who,
I'm going to suggest Doug Marrone might not be able to do that.
Do you know how old Sean McVay is?
He looks like he's 12.
Do you know how old he is for real?
I would guess like 32.
He's 32 years old. Exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Starting against the square.
Appreciate it.
32 years old. So Tom Brady is 41, and you have a head coach in the NFL who's in his second year as a head coach in the NFL, and he's already on the short list of coaches that you would want. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
But even coaches for this season, I don't know, he's one of the five coaches? Like, that is incredible. And then it's also funny, a juxtaposition, if you will, how Sean McVay seems like an absolute genius
savant with
a photographic memory. And then you have his quarterback, Jared Goff, who he's making him look very good. But if you remember this from Hard Knocks from a year ago.
Yeah, this is Chris Winkie talking
about. Okay, Chris Winkie talking about.
The only thing I'll say is quarterbacks historically are usually pretty smart. And Dylan, if I asked you where the sun rises and where the sun sets, can you tell me?
Yeah.
Well, tell me.
Rises in the east, sets in the west.
Oh, it does? Okay. Well, I happen to ask Jared Goff where the sun rises and where the sun sets, and he said he wasn't sure.
I know now.
And he'll never forget now.
He didn't even deny. He has no idea.
He doesn't know where the sun rises
or
and sets.
He's lived in California.
I'm going to suggest Sean McVay is probably the genius behind that offense.
You think
more than Jared Goff.
Pretty impressive, though. He's able to make Jared Goff look as good as he is.
Although Jamison Crowder, we were out down the right sideline, set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
Now, Peter King, who was just on with us, didn't he have Rams Patriots as his Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It really could be. What a matchup that would be. I think that
you'd have arguably one of the best coaches in the history of the game against, in my opinion, the best young coach in the game.
It definitely is.
Think about the seven first-year coaches this year in the NFL who managed to go 0-7 last week.
That'd be the Super Bowl I'd want the most, I think. I know it's week two here, Dale, but I would want Pat's Rams. I think there'd be a lot of good storylines. The other one would be if it was Brady versus Breeze and you had two 40-year-old quarterbacks. That would be pretty wild as well. No, but the Rams, and they look good on Monday night. You know, they were going up against a bad Raiders team. But the Rams, it's one of those teams that they are loaded. You look at the guys they got defensively. You got Sean McVay pulling the trigger on offense. Brandon Cooks, who I didn't love his 1 year with the Patriots, but more of a complimentary piece. It's Todd Gurley is the guy there. So that is a really, really good team. And it's crazy to me that a coach like Sean McVay, who was 31, shows up to the Rams last year and immediately got the respect of the players. Like, immediately. And I think a big part of it was he hired the right coordinators to go with him. So he had good coordinators, and boom, that team was a success. Then you go to Matt Patricia, shows up to Detroit, and they hate him. They hate his guts already. He's been there for a week, and they hate him. And so just the difference of these guys getting their first opportunity as a head coach, you can't have more of a drastic difference than McVay and Patricia.
So we've decided we think Sean McVay is a savant. He's a genius. He's a football genius.
I'd like to
think
so.
Or at least he's got a photographic memory.
Maybe
there,
both.
There might be somebody else on the Rams who might not be quite as smart, perhaps. Beyond Jared Goff.
Another
somebody
dumb?
Maybe even dumber than that.
Hmm.
That's coming up when we come back. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.